Rockout is still cold. The Hellraiser is back.
Here we go. Evolution of the Shield.
John Cena versus the Showstopper.
Hulk Hogan and The Rock in the same ring.
You will never take my place at the head of the table.
Undertaker with a Hellscape submission. Oh, my God.
What?
My God, Michaels just kicked Cena's head off.
The Monday Night Wars have come to WrestleMania.
It'll be The Rock. It'll be Austin one-on-one.
Third and fourth, the Undertaker.
Do you believe in miracles?
The streak is over.
Hey guys, what's going on? And welcome back to Rivalries on the WWE Podcast on this September 9th. As we are fast-tracking to Extreme Rules and really getting into the thick of the fall weather here in Upper Canada, or Montreal rather, to be more specific. But I really think that we are slowly but surely starting to leave the summer season in the rearview mirror. And today we're going to talk about a rivalry of one that I think is controversial in a lot of ways, polarizing in others, and some people call it one of the worst booking decisions at a WrestleMania. And I'm going to give you a reason as to why I maybe disagree with that. And that is us going back to the spring of 2003 on the road to WrestleMania 19 for Booker T versus Triple H. Now, when talking about this rivalry, it's very important to give you the lay of the land of the WWE at the time. This was the first ever WrestleMania that WWE was going into with the brand split in effect. The brand split had taken place just a year prior in March of 2002 following WrestleMania 18. And over the course of the, I would say, succeeding 5 months or so, we saw them introduce a new world championship, the former WCW title, now rebranded as the World Heavyweight Championship. So it was the first time ever that this new world championship would be showcased at WrestleMania. And it was kind of hard to do, right? Because you're trying to bring this belt in the most legitimate way possible into the showcase of the Immortals. And there are a lot of fans, casual fans, who poke their heads in only around Royal Rumble WrestleMania time. So there was probably a large portion of the fan base that were kind of like, well, what do you mean there's two world championships? What's this? Like the WWE championships on SmackDown? What's this belt that I saw a couple times in the promotion that ceases to exist now? So we kind of saw this back in 2016, 2017, when they brought in the Universal Championship. And the way they went about it to legitimize that world title when they got to WrestleMania 33, the first WrestleMania that featured the Universal title, you saw them put arguably the two biggest names the company had to offer at that time in the match with Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar. And I think that's one of the reasons why they elected to go with Lesnar versus Goldberg in lieu of, let's say, what it was supposed to be, which was Kevin Owens versus Chris Jericho, a rivalry I reviewed a couple weeks ago. And I think that them putting Goldberg and Brock Lesnar, two marquee names for not only, let's say, mega wrestling fans, but casual fans, or even people that don't really follow the product at all, know the names Brock Lesnar and Goldberg. But in 2003, with Triple H and Booker T, these were two names that, more so the latter, that weren't even close to the biggest names in the business at the time. And I think that's what really hurt this rivalry as a whole, aside from the booking decision at the end of the match. Because you look at the other big name, or the big matches that were on the card at that WrestleMania. You had Hulk Hogan versus Vince McMahon that was built pretty much 3 months out in advance. And you have the owner and the company against arguably the biggest name the industry has ever seen. Then you have The Rock versus Stone Cold Steve Austin for the third time at a WrestleMania. The best rivalry of all time, regarded by many. and two of the biggest stars the industry had seen, especially in that generation. And then competing for the WWE Championship on the SmackDown brand, you had Kurt Angle walking into WrestleMania as the champion, arguably the best worker in the company at that time, one of the most respected talents in the industry ever, against Brock Lesnar, who was just on a meteoric rise during the year of 2002, wins the Royal Rumble in 2003, and is really being pushed as a main event level babyface. So then you get Triple H versus Booker T for the first time ever competing for the World Heavyweight Championship at a WrestleMania, kind of as the fourth match on the totem pole here. And you kind of saw that they didn't put a whole lot of stock into building this match as a true world championship type of contest. Because they really started to build this match, unlike the others, just 4 weeks in advance, following the No Way Out pay-per-view. And I believe it was the first ever, it was the first Raw in March of 2003. And essentially, there was a 20-man battle royal to name the new number one contender for Triple H's World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania, a match in which Booker T took full advantage of. So Booker T last eliminates The Rock to become the number one contender to the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania 19. And I think him last eliminating The Rock was very important to legitimize Booker T as an actual threat to Triple H. Because Booker T before this, since coming to WWE, really did not have a big track record as a main event level guy. And I think they had a short amount of time to really try and build him as a legitimate contender and an actual threat to the World Heavyweight Championship. And, you know, The Rock, arguably the biggest heel in the company at this time, following his Hollywood heel turn when he returned before No Way Out up against Hulk Hogan. And these two had a history. I reviewed their rivalry not too long ago that culminated at Unforgiven in 2001. So Booker T throwing out one of the best of that generation, one of the biggest heels of all time, and a guy that he had a substantial amount of history with, was very good to legitimize Booker, or to the best they could, as an actual threat to the World Heavyweight Championship. The following Monday Night Raw, Booker T comes out and starts talking about how he's going to WrestleMania and all that, and he's met by Triple H, who doesn't really take Booker T all that seriously, and really starts running down Booker T as a legitimate threat to his championship, and gives Booker T a true, idea of what he thinks about Booker T challenging him for the World Heavyweight Championship.
About your role in life here, I think you're a little bit confused. You see, Booker, you're going to get to go to WrestleMania, but see, the fact is, Booker, somebody like you doesn't get to be a world champion. You see, people like you don't deserve it. That's reserved for people like me. See, Book, that's where the confusion is. Your confusion is, see, you're not here to be a competitor. You're here to be an entertainer. That's what you do. You entertain people. Hell, you entertain me all the time. Go ahead, Book. Why don't you entertain? Go ahead. Do a little dance for me, Book.
Dance?
Go ahead. Give me one of those spinneroonies. Come on, Book, dance. Entertain me, that's your job. Don't be embarrassed. Come on, Book, that's what you do. You're here to make people like me laugh. Your role. Your job is to make people like me laugh, and you're very good at it. With your nappy hair and your suckers. Hell, I was laughing all week long after you won that 20-man over-the-top rope battle royal. I laughed my ass off thinking about you challenging me for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Failed to see the humor in this, King. Look at that smirk.
See, Book, I understand you've been the 5-time WCW champion. I get all that. But let's face it, that place was a joke, Book. Rick, correct me if I'm wrong here, Nate, but when Booker T was WCW champion, wasn't that around the same time frame that other illustrious superstars such as David Arquette and guys like some guy named Vince Russo was champ?
So you get the point about what Triple H was trying to do here. And, you know, in a lot of ways, he was right, because since Booker T had come to WWE, he was never really legitimized as an actual main eventer. And to this point, since he had lost the WCW Championship to The Rock a year and a half prior at the SummerSlam of 2001, and I could be mistaken here, but I'm fairly certain that Booker T only had one match for a world title, and that was at the first ever Elimination Chamber at Survivor Series 2002. So they were really kind of fighting upstream here to legitimize Booker T as an actual threat to Triple H. And to their credit, they used it in the storyline. Now, did they go too far with it? That's up for debate, you know, because it kind of started to teeter a little bit on racism, if you ask me. They played into Booker T's checkered past, where he spent time behind bars. The following Monday Night Raw, Ric Flair came out and told Booker T that he should carry the bags of them out of the jet and up to their room and drive their car like he's meant to do, you know, all these things. And it was really just trying to drive home the fact that Booker T was not even close to on the level as Triple H. But while I think they maybe went a bit too far with it and kind of overstepped some social boundaries, and looking back on it now, there's no way in hell that they could ever do something even remotely close to what they did back in 2003. In a lot of ways, they were kind of right. Like, they were trying to make Booker T, a guy who, for the preceding 2 years, was an established upper mid-card guy, as a legitimate main eventer. And you couple that with the fact that you're trying to legitimize this new world title that you brought into existence not 6-7 months prior. And I think that they were really kind of in a difficult position to really legitimize this match and this contest going into WrestleMania as an actual main event caliber match. And it wasn't just this program in and of itself. It wasn't just the fact that you're trying to legitimize the World Heavyweight Championship. But you just look at the other matches that were on the card at the time, and you see Rock versus Austin, one of the most storied rivalries in the history of the business. One of the two of the most, if not the two most popular superstars in the history of WWE and in the history of professional wrestling, colliding for the third and what would ultimately be the final time at a WrestleMania. You have Hogan versus Vince McMahon, which they build as 20 years in the making. You know, the creator versus the creation. In a lot of ways, WCW versus WWF, because of when Hogan jumped ship. They played on Vince's real-life trial in the early 90s, which Hogan testified against him. Like, this was a program that they had built months in advance, going all the way back to January. And although in the ring it wasn't, you know, a five-star classic as we had referred to today, it was built as such a huge match. And then you look at what ultimately became the main event, Brock Lesnar versus Kurt Angle. Brock Lesnar, for the year prior, had been booked and built as this unstoppable beast, the next big thing, no pun intended. And then Kurt Angle, as I previously said, one of the most legitimate badasses in the company at the time, one of the faces of the latter end of the Attitude Era, arguably the best worker in the company. So I don't think that this build and this rivalry between Booker T and Triple H was entirely their fault, but they were also trying to force something and didn't give themselves enough time. And I think Booker T kind of got thrusted into this position out of necessity more than out of want and out of deserving it. And this is not to say I don't think Booker T deserved to be in the main event at some point. I just don't know if this was the right time. But you look at that era in WWE, and they were really, really, really struggling to find baby faces on the Raw side of things to challenge Triple H for the World Heavyweight title. And that's why you saw Triple H hold that belt more or less on and off for 2.5 years straight, aside for some few blips along the way. You know, aside from a brief 2-3 week long run with Shawn Michaels as the world champion from Survivor Series until Armageddon in late 2002, Triple H held that World Heavyweight Championship for a year straight. And I think it was in large part of them not having a legitimate guy to take the championship off of him. And before this, at No Way Out 2003, he was challenged by Scott Steiner, and I believe Steiner challenged him at the Royal Rumble that year as well. And, you know, Scott Steiner's WWE run when he came in post-invasion angle was one of the most unsuccessful runs, I believe, that the company has ever seen. And then before that, you had Shawn Michaels, but it's fairly well documented that Shawn Michaels did not want to be in the limelight. He didn't want to carry the mantle. And then even post-Booker T, they tried to force it with Kevin Nash. They dipped their toe a bit with Rob Van Dam, and it was only really until Goldberg got there the night following WrestleMania 19, but even him, they took a while to build him to get to Triple H. So then you see Booker T kind of just sitting there, and you look at the rest of the Raw roster, and who really were you going to push against Triple H at that time? And the answer is really nobody. Like, even a guy like Kane, you could argue that. Like, I don't think Kane really ever got a legitimate run at a championship, especially as a babyface. Aside from his matches with The Undertaker, he never really played a mega factor in at a WrestleMania. But even Kane, they gave him a kick at the can, too, in the main event scene, challenging Triple H for the World Heavyweight title in the summer of 2003 in the infamous Katie Vick angle. So Booker T was sitting there, and I don't want to say it was low-hanging fruit, but it was more like, where else were they going to go? And looking back on it now and remembering watching this program, you kind of got that feeling as well. And maybe had they booked it more long-term, had they started it back in January and it wasn't just a month-long build because they had nobody else, maybe this match would have felt more special. Maybe they could have gone something just beyond like, oh, you're a former criminal. Oh, you don't stand up to Triple H and you don't belong here. Because that's pretty much the depth of it. And it made sense, and I understand why they went with that angle. But I think it was more because they had to add some personal elements to it and give reasons for the crowd to be emotionally attached to this in such a short amount of time. As the program developed leading into WrestleMania 19, they get Goldust involved, who was Booker T's best friend at the time, tag team partner. He loses a match to Triple H on 2 weeks out from WrestleMania. And then the go-home show to Monday Night Raw, or to WrestleMania 19, you have Booker T versus Triple H and Ric Flair. And this is when they really got a whole lot of, wait for it, momentum behind Booker T going in to WrestleMania 19. So, right before going into WrestleMania, Booker T scores the pinfall victory, albeit in a tag team match, over Triple H. And as we all know, the man that usually scores, the woman that scores the victory that in the go-home match before a pay-per-view, typically loses out at the big granddaddy of them all match. And that's not always the rule of thumb, but it tends to be the case. And in this particular case, it seemed like it was, and it ultimately ended up becoming that. And I guess in one of the more stunning ends to a match, we saw Triple H eventually come out on top on the grandest stage of them all.
For the police, 911 Donuts. We gotta call him here. Triple H trying to hook up Booker T in a superplex attempt, anyway. And Booker T fighting for everything he's got. Big right hands, two down the mark, and down goes the champion. This is bad now. This one, now here comes Nathan to the rescue again. No! And Clark gets, this is very disrespectful on the part of Booker T. Clark has no business up there, damn it! No business. Booker T has no business up there. And look at Booker T. It landed right on Triple H's head. It crushed his skull. Booker completely ripped and torn. Why are you worried about his knee when he landed right on Triple H's head? Why don't you run down and give him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation if you're so damn worried about it? Cover him, Booker. Get the foot on the ropes. Foot on the ropes. Good call, ref. He's a very observant referee.
Oh, good call, ref. Good call, ref. Here's a hell of an athlete with a will to become the champion. Look at this.
Oh, God! Right on the head of Triple H.
With that bad leg. Putting putting himself in harm's way in the game's foot.
Just so he could fall all of his nearly 300 pounds on the head of poor Triple H.
Well, it ain't ballet. It ain't your softball league in Memphis. This is a contact sport.
Come on, Triple H. I'm afraid Triple H is completely out of it now.
Booker T is hurting. He's hurting. The game is hurting. Triple H is vulnerable right here and now. Can Booker T capitalize?
No, he can't. Look at that leg just gave way. Come on, Triple H, can you capitalize?
The leg gave away again on the challenger. The number one contender.
Oh,
the
please.
World's champion.
Hit this. Oh, baby.
By God, out of desperation. But it was a thunderous pedigree. Perfectly done by the world's champion.
That's a mark of a true champion, JR, when you can reach deep down in times of desperation and pull out a move like that. What a pedigree. Cover him, that's it.
Triple H got the pedigree.
I think Nate's going to have a stroke.
He's got the hand on it. And it's over. It's over.
Yes.
The winner of this match.
He ends
still
the game.
World heavyweight champion, Triple H.
So I let that clip play a little long because it really illustrated how the match went down. Triple H repeatedly attacked the leg of Booker T, obviously making it pretty much impossible for him to execute his finishing move, the scissors kick. And obviously you had Ric Flair playing a huge part in that, kept trying to get involved on the apron. When Booker T looked to have the match won, he puts Triple H's leg on the rope. And then you get a very anticlimactic finish with Booker T's leg giving out. He's on one leg. Triple H hits the pedigree and then barely gets the cover with just a hand on Booker T to secure the retention of his World Heavyweight Championship. And, you know, I could understand why people think this was such a bad booking decision. And in a lot of ways, I could see why it would have made more sense to put the title on Booker T. But what I would argue to that is, when you looked at the SmackDown roster, and you had Brock Lesnar, who won the WWE Championship that night, taking it off of a legitimate superstar in Kurt Angle. You had The Undertaker still on that brand. I think the fear here was putting the belt on a non-marquee name on Monday Night Raw. And up until the following night on Raw, when Goldberg debuted for the first time in WWE, back when Goldberg was actually fun to watch, they didn't have that guy on Monday Night Raw other than Triple H. You can make the case Shawn Michaels was, but as we all know, he never wanted to be world champion and only held it for a month upon his return to the company in 2002. And what would you have really done with Booker T? How long would he have held it for? And I guess you can make the case that they did it with Chris Benoit a year later, but I don't know. I could understand that while they were trying to legitimize this world championship and put it on equal footing with the WWE title, they wanted to give it to an established main event guy. Someone that all fans across all realms would know. Casual fans, super fans, decently like watch fans. I don't know what the middle ground fans, how you would call them. But all this to say, I get maybe why there was trepidation. And you look at the string of guys they had to go up against Triple H over this time period. From, let's say, the fall of 2002 until the spring of 2005, a 2.5 year stretch where you really saw them always go back to Triple H. And I think it was just because they didn't want to lose ground to SmackDown's guys. And I think SmackDown always kind of had a little bit of a stronger main event caliber roster up until at least Brock Lesnar left. And then, you know, they kind of went in the ways of Eddie Guerrero, JBL. They started testing their foot in other waters. But in the early years of the brand split, especially when you had the WWE title over there and you had the guys I already mentioned on that side, you really only had Triple H who could really match the Angles and the Lesnars and the Takers in terms of legitimate credibility, obviously not taking Shawn Michaels into account. And you could make the case that maybe Chris Jericho was that guy as well, but as you know, he was way more often a heel than a face during this time period. And then, you know, I think that Booker T was kind of just a victim of circumstance. And maybe if he was on the SmackDown side of things and you had Brock on the Raw side of things, maybe they pull the trigger. Maybe if it was the WWE Championship and there wasn't a worry and a need to establish it on equal footing with the world title, maybe they do pull the trigger here. Maybe if Brock is on Raw and defeats Triple H, Booker T's on SmackDown and defeats Kurt Angle. Like, who knows? But maybe Booker T just needed more seasoning, because as we well know, he finally got his run with the World Heavyweight title about 3 years after this as King Booker. And maybe that was needed. Maybe he needed more seasoning down in the mid-card. Because following this, he was in a six-man tag team match at Backlash involving Triple H at the following pay-per-view, although not for the championship. And then he kind of slid back down the mid-card, had a run with the Intercontinental Championship, then actually formed a pretty cool tag team with Rob Van Dam that took the World Tag Team titles into WrestleMania 20. In 2004, gets switched over to the SmackDown brand. Really helped to legitimize John Cena. I will say that. They had that Best of Seven series for the United States title in the late summer and fall of 2004. And then in 2005, he really kind of slipped back down the ranks. And it was not until he won the King of the Ring, and if I'm not mistaken, he beat Bobby Lashley in the finals of the King of the Ring tournament in late 2005, when we finally got to see a true run for King Booker as a main event caliber star. And as we came to know, he needed it, and he deserved it, and he was absolutely able to carry the company as a world champion eventually. But at this particular time, I think it was personally because, and you know, I don't know this, my opinion is no more legitimate than any of you out there who are probably screaming at me, no, Booker T deserved to win it. He had to win it. It was a bad booking decision, one of the worst of all time. I think that it was just because they wanted to keep that World Heavyweight Championship legitimate. And they had a guy with Triple H who was a safe pick, had been a world champion multiple times, was one of the faces of the most successful era in the history of WWE. And they just said, you know what, we're going to go with what we have, and we're only going to pull the trigger when we know that it's going to work. And Triple H only dropped the belt when it was Goldberg at Unforgiven in 2003. So he kept it for another 6 months after this. So it's not like they just decided Booker T's not worthy of it because of X, Y, and Z, and we're going to find someone else we like more. They literally waited until they had a guy who was just as big of a star as Triple H was, and Goldberg was that guy at that time. And then even Goldberg dropped it back to Triple H at Armageddon, and then it was not until Chris Benoit's run, and then later on Randy Orton's cup of coffee with the world title, that kept the strap off of Triple H for about 6 months. And then lo and behold, Triple H gets it back in late 2004, and then eventually drops it to Batista. So it was only really when you saw Batista come in and break through that glass ceiling and legitimize and cement himself at the top of the card that you finally had a legitimate guy to be the successor to Triple H at the top of the mountain on Monday Night Raw, and eventually John Cena came over as they did the swap. So, I mean, looking back on it as a whole, I think it was a very underwhelming feud, and I think they could have done more with it. A lot of this does lay at the feet of WWE. You know, they shouldn't have planned it just, you know, 4 weeks out. They could have done a lot more than just saying, oh, you have a checkered past, Booker T. You know, you only succeeded in the later years of WCW when it was a joke and you're not on my level. They could have done a lot more with it. But at the same time, when you look at the other matches that were taking place at WrestleMania 19, when you look at the fact that they were still trying to legitimize the World Heavyweight Championship on equal footing with the WWE title, I could understand that they were fighting upstream. It was an uphill battle, and they decided to go with the safe pick and keep the strap on Triple H. But anyway, guys, that's all I got for you tonight. And maybe we'll do a what if on this, Matt and I, when we record it on Monday night. Maybe we'll do what if Booker T had won the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania 19. Now I got my wheels turning for a potential episode on that. But maybe there's more to come on this. But for now, I hope you enjoyed Booker T versus Triple H. As always, you can get me on Twitter at ADeMarco25. You can get Matt on Twitter at wrestling_audio. And you can email him at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. Anyway, guys, stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you next week.